The following program is paid for by Computer Doctor of Tucson. The views are not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
What you need to know about the fake job posting scam, some new AI features coming to the Google ecosystem, a new feature expected on the Waze app, and everything you need to know about ChatGPT-4. All that and more next on the Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for up-to-date scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 123. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Thanks for tuning in with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. And we post all of our shows and bonus content on ComputerDoctorShow.com and the Computer Doctor Show YouTube channel. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call during the show with your computer, internet, cybersecurity comments and questions. Actually, you can't do that today. Thank you, Tom. The reason why is I'm actually recording this show on Thursday. Got some important stuff I got to take care of on Saturday, but hey, let's pretend that it's Saturday, okay? Just a reminder to please support our sponsors at Perfection Auto Works for all of your car's needs. I don't know about you, but I've been through my share of auto mechanics, and it's nice to have a place that you can trust. Trust is so important these days, and that's what you're going to get at Perfection Auto Works. They have five-star reviews. If you go to perfectionautoworks.com, you can see all of their five-star reviews, and also if you go to the Better Business Bureau, you can see all their A-plus five-star reviews on there as well. And that's how you know that you're going to have a good experience. For a free 23-point inspection, you can give them a call at 520-323-8650. Again, 520-323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com. And remember, if you like the Computer Doctor Show, please support our sponsors. We have a great technology show for you today, so we're going to get right into tech news happening this week. What you need to know about fake job posting scams. So it's scammers always trying to find ways to make things better, to scam you in a different way. And posting fake job scams, this is not anything new, but I thought I would cover it because it's starting to become more intricate. Basically, the way it starts out, and by the way, I do this as a public service. Basically, it starts out with a job offer that you can find online, lots of job posting sites, even legitimate ones. Have been known to have some of these fake job postings. And basically what it is they are hoping to scam you out of your money and your personal information. So when you're considering a job posting, be sensitive to some of these red flags. And these are things that you would expect to see in a real job opportunity or a hiring process, but just seem to be absent when it is a scam. The first thing is that they can include email addresses from Gmail or other personal email accounts not affiliated with a company. Okay, so if you're getting a job offer and they're corresponding through email, look at the email address. Is it a Gmail? Is it a Yahoo? Anyone can make up those email accounts, but it's a little bit more and a little bit more of a hassle to create and correspond with an actual company email. That's where it says Tom at, you know, computersite.com. Okay. That domain, that's the part that appears just before the .com. That whatever appears there is the domain. The .com is actually part of the domain as well, because that's considered a top-level domain. But if a company does not have at least their own domain that they're using their own email from, that's a red flag, okay? So don't do anything of a serious nature with a with a potential employer if they're corresponding with a Gmail. Also, fig job offers may also include a much higher salary than similar jobs pay. And they do this on purpose because, number one, they're not going to be actually paying you that. They're going to be trying to get your money some other way. Their main purpose for putting a high salary on there is, number one, to get your attention and to communicate with you and correspond with you. And that is where the tricks and the, you know, and the smoke and the mirrors actually start to happen during the conversation. So you want to, if a job is offering a lot of money, that by itself is not a turnoff per se, but it is a red flag. It's just one of many things to consider. Okay. Also, you also want to look for any misspelled words and grammatical mistakes. And the reason why this is significant is because it's not a big secret. A lot of scammers come from overseas, and a lot of them, English is not their first language. So when they're developing intricate copy, ad copy, or messages through email, they will start to say sentences and words and sentence structures that don't make sense to those that are good English speakers. The same thing is true if you speak Spanish. The scammers are starting to notice that a lot of their efforts are starting to backfire, so they're searching out a new audience, and that new audience is not the well-to-do countries per se, but a lot of the Spanish countries, those that are speaking Spanish. This is a fresh meat sort of situation where a lot of people where Spanish is their first language, a lot of them have not been exposed to these scams before. So they become a highly, highly victimized. They become a very, very highly victimized audience. So if you're a Spanish speaker, you have a lot of Spanish friends or family, please make them aware of this as well. Also, one other thing to look out for on these fake job posting scams is that legitimate employers will ask for sensitive information after the interview or way into the interview, not up front. When we talk about sensitive information, we're talking about social security numbers, bank account information, and usually that information is really just a formality to get you into their system so that they can get you onto payroll. But usually employers want to know about you, your experience, your job history, how long you've been working in that field, what your education is. They want to ask you questions. They want to probe and prod you a little bit about some of your experience. If that does not exist, if they have no questions and they're just hiring you and they just want to fast track you through giving up your social security number, bank information, that is a red flag. It also helps to do a little bit of research on the company itself. Some of these companies, they may sound like a legitimate company, but then when you actually do research on them, you'll find out they're not. Or what they'll do is they will use the name of a real company that really does exist, but then they'll have some sort of reason why they can't communicate. They'll say that their email is down or that phone number is not working, that you have to call them directly to make this work. So it's kind of interesting the way that they do that. So be careful out there. Also, there are some new AI features coming to the Google ecosystem. In some previous episodes, I had commented on how slow Google has been with developing language models into their services. But I think I figured out the reason why they're so slow, because they have so many services to consider. And sometimes when you change the operation of one service, it affects many of the other services. For example, let's say that I'll take Tucson, Arizona for an example right here. There's a new downtown bypass street that goes from Broadway all the way to 6th Street. That is a new roadway that was opened within this past month. Obviously, there are mapping systems, mapping companies that have to now introduce that roadway into their maps. But how does Google do that? Well, Google has three mapping systems. They have Google Maps, they have Google Earth, and they also have Waze, which is the GPS app, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. So one small change can be a domino effect of lots of other changes that may need to be made. So it's very, very difficult for them to keep up and stay competitive in a speed, especially when there's a race toward doing AI language models. So some of these AI language models that we can look forward to be affected by Gmail, Google Meet, and also Google Docs. These are not things that are in effect just yet, but as I understand it, when it comes to Google Docs, assistance will be available to have an artificial intelligence help create templates and even sales presentations, things of that sort. So we're not sure exactly in what way it's going to be implemented, but something that we will have to wait and see. Meanwhile, Microsoft and OpenAI are the competition for Google, and with a goal to catch up, they hope to surpass with their advancement of language models. They hope to surpass OpenAI and Microsoft. Google One seems to be the biggest advancing project with Google. The real question is, will AI and language models develop more relevant tools and applications faster than Google? So Google has set the precedent for the past few decades of being the company for development of technology of this sort. But now there are these new kids on the block, and they really have to be careful. Also, we had mentioned Waze, so I'll mention again. Waze app is adding a new feature. If some of you are not aware, Waze is a GPS navigation app that you can get for your phone. It's available on all the app stores. If your phone already has a GPS device or GPS app, it is probably running on Samsung Maps or Apple Maps or Google Maps that have that ability. But Waze is, and when I say Waze, that's W-A-Z-E. W-A-Z-E is the app. It's owned by Google, and it's different from Google Maps and Google Earth because Waze is specifically designed for GPS navigation with the best traffic avoidance. I can't tell you how many times that the Waze app has saved me from gridlock because all the users can input road conditions. If I'm stuck in traffic, I hit a button on the Waze app, and it sends out a message to other people using the app, notifying them that one person is stuck in traffic, and then it'll reroute all the traffic around that. So it's kind of like a community of drivers that are reporting road conditions. And it saved me many, many times. And as with other GPS systems, Waze can direct you to the closest gas station. The new feature is that they're going to be adding charging stations. So we're making this motion from gas to electric. So the infrastructure, as state of Arizona and other states are starting to put more charging stations in, there's got to be a map of where all these charging stations are. And Waze is stepping up to do that. There are some brands of charging stations, such as Blink. Those you can find by name on the Waze app, but they have to categorize them all. So you can just type in charging stations, and all of those different types of charging stations should pop up. So we'll look forward to that. It's time to take our midway commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Up next, science and tech history from this week and everything you need to know about ChatGPT-4. This is the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back.
He's almost ready, Frankie. What you desired, my second creation, the Bride of Frankenstein. Once again, give my creation life. She's alive. Frankie, come here. I present to you your bride.
She's beautiful. She don't like me.
Why? Why do you reject him?
He's not my type.
Perfect. Two monsters, and they don't even like each other. Wait, what are you doing? Don't pull that lever! You blew us all to atoms!
Master, who had that installed?
Well, all mad scientists have that feature.
Poor Frankie. Some romances are just not meant to be. But at Perfection Auto Works, when you bring your car in, it's love at first sight. Call 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. We're going to go and take a look back at science and tech history for this week. Back on March 15th, 1985, 38 years ago, the first internet domain, Symbolics.com, was registered by Symbolics, a Massachusetts computer company. The website was originally used to promote Symbolics products and services, but the company eventually went bankrupt in 1993. XF.com Investments has maintained the website as a tribute to the history of the internet and the early days of the World Wide Web. Symbolics.com has been recognized by the Internet Society and has a historic landmark in the development of the Internet. If you were to go to Symbolics.com today, you would see the world's oldest website of 38 years old, and it still keeps a lot of the same charm that of the original. Towards the bottom of the homepage, if you take a look at it, you'll see that Symbolics.com is older than IBM.com, and it's older than AT&T.com. So those are some interesting facts there. Also, March 21st, 2006, 17 years ago, the first tweet. Twitter released Twitter was released, and the Twitter co-founder at the time, Jack Dorsey, was the first public tweet, which read, here was the tweet. It just said simply, "Just setting up my Twitter." Okay, what else are you going to say? And the tweet was sent at 9:50 p.m. Pacific time on March 21st, 2006, 17 years ago, just a few months after Twitter was founded. The tweet has been retweeted, guess how many times? Some 83,000 times, and has over 200,000 likes as of 2023. So that's very, very interesting. We'll keep you updated for other science and tech history news in upcoming weeks. Here's some quick announcements, both coming from Facebook/Meta. And that is that Facebook and Meta, they're still on this firing system. They're laying off thousands, tens of thousands of employees still. No doubt it is something having to do with a lot of these jobs now being able to be easily automated by fewer staff. And I believe it started with Twitter when Elon Musk took over Twitter, and now Mark Zuckerberg is starting to follow suit with those same things. Also, Facebook is starting to peel away from NFTs. And NFTs are non-fungible tokens, as some of you may know. And it was something that was very interesting, but it's starting to lose its pizzazz. I'm thinking because of what artificial intelligence and artificial art has started to take off. So now a unique piece of art or a unique piece of work is not as valuable as it used to. So it's more of a nostalgic value. If something has been around or created with a technology of its time, and it was the finest of its time, those are valuable. But It looks like, based on the reports that I've seen, that NFTs are starting to lose their value, and it's usually not a good business to get into right now if you were thinking about it. Okay, everything you need to know about ChatGPT-4. Now, Time Magazine states in just 15 short weeks, it has sparked doomsday predictions in global job markets. We're talking about ChatGPT now. And it disrupted educational systems, draw millions of users and big banks to app developers that are very, very interested in this technology. ChatGPT-4 is short for Generative Pre-trained Transformer 4. That's what the GPT stands for, Generative Pre-trained Transformer. It's been criticized for giving inaccurate answers, showing bias, and for bad behavior, circumventing its own baked-in guardrails to spew out answers it's not supposed to be able to give. It claims that ChatGPT-4, that is OpenAI, claims that ChatGPT-4 is more accurate, creative, and collaborative than the previous iteration. ChatGPT 3.5 and 40% more likely to produce factual responses. So it is supposed to be 40% more accurate than its predecessor. And with the playing around that I've done with ChatGPT 3.5, I was very, very impressed. You would actually have to be like a professional and have studied a subject space for many, many years in order to catch wrong statements that it's making. So again, ChatGPT-4, it's supposed to be more accurate. It's also supposed to be able to handle not only words, but pictures too, in what is being called multimodal technology. I've actually tried to use it with the pictures, and for me, it has not worked. I actually have a paid ChatGPT account. I am supposed to have ChatGPT-4. I go onto the site, I select ChatGPT-4 as the mode, but I can't put pictures in there. I've tried, and there's no way to click and drag anything, and it, even when you ask it, it still says that it's still only a language model, and it cannot effectively use pictures. So a little bit of different reports that we're getting here. A user will have the ability to submit a picture, so they say, with both of which ChatGPT-4 will be able to process and discuss. Again, I still can't figure out how to make that work. And the ability of video is also on the horizon, so they say. With all that said, it still has many known limitations that OpenAI is working to address, such as social biases, hallucinations, and adversarial prompts. I'm not exactly sure what hallucinations. I don't know if a computer can actually have a hallucination. I think that's only what biological people can actually have. But if they're seeing something that's not there or reporting something that's not accurate, maybe that could be a hallucination. And adversarial prompts. So I guess, you know, an adversary would be an enemy. So I don't know if they mean that it's going to be an enemy of human workers, that they're trying to take human workers away. But I can tell you at this time, from my personal experience, that ChatGPT-4 is not, at this time, processing images, which is very significant because all other news outlets that I'm aware of, they're all saying that it can, and it cannot. So you can take that to the bank. And make sure, give ChatGPT a try, and send me an email. Let me know what you think of both the old version and the new version, if you have access to it. Before we wrap up, I just want to thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, again for sponsoring our show. Stop by their location near Speedway in Craycroft for your free 26-point inspection. And as always, don't click unverified links in emails or text messages. Use a password manager. Always look at the address bar. Check the activity on your bank statements on a regular basis. Enable two-factor authentication. Verify all incoming and outgoing calls. back up your system to the cloud, and listen to the Computer Doctor Show live on Saturdays and posted as podcasts on Tuesdays. If you missed any part of this episode, go to computerdoctorshow.com, click episodes, and find episode 123. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.